Today on Bold Steps, Mark Job explains how easily we stray from our Heavenly Father and what we can do to get back.
When you're running from God, when you're looking to fulfill your life somehow outside of God's design, outside of the love of the Father, you will be driven to things that in the short term make you feel fulfilled, but in the long term become your master.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Job. Mark is president of Moody Bible Institute and senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. Well, at one point or another, we've all felt the panic of losing something important to us. Mark, I can't tell you how many times I've left a store, gotten all the way home in the car sometimes, and realized I left my phone behind. Isn't that a horrible feeling?
It is. Hey, we can relate.
It just happened yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Well, this is the ultimate lost and found story, Wayne. You know, there are people that are going to be listening today that have a prodigal that they're praying for. Or maybe you're listening today and you are the prodigal and you just happen to tune into the station. And if you are a prodigal right now and you know you're a prodigal, I'm so glad you're listening. Please don't turn the station because God wants to speak to you today.
Join us in Luke chapter 15. Let's begin with this message, Returning Back to the Father's Heart.
My daughter Marissa was about 3 years old. Josiah was about a year old. And like many parents, we had gone into, I believe it was Target. And you know how parents are. You got to do grocery shopping. You got to buy some things, so you divide and conquer. So Dee had the baby. I had Marissa. And she said, this is your list of things. This is my list of things. Let's go. We're trying to hold the baby, trying to keep bringing him, looking at the aisle. And I said, okay, let's go. And then we were talking a little bit, and we looked around, and I said, where's Marissa? And my wife said, I thought you had Marissa. And I said, I thought you had Marissa. How many of you parents know what I'm talking about? Good, thank you. Don't make me feel bad that I'm the only one that loses my kids in stores. And you know the feeling of, yeah, she's probably hiding, but maybe someone took her. Every parent has gone through that. And so I said, Marissa, Marissa, where are you? Marissa. And he's saying, where, Marissa, are you? Are? And we start going around the store looking around for her. Now, 2 weeks before, we saw in the news that someone in a store had taken a kid into the bathroom, put a wig on them, and taken them out. So immediately my wife says, hey, remember the story? I wonder, she's in the bathroom, someone's taken her. So I run to the bathroom, look at the bathroom, make sure that no one's putting a wig on my daughter to take her out. We talked to a manager. We said, hey, has anybody seen a little pretty girl with dark hair and beautiful skin? And we don't know where she's at. And we start panicking. And finally, we found her. Hiding, playing under the coats. She found her little play space. And she was oblivious to the fact, hey, Daddy. It's like, grabbed her, held her. She said, hey, Daddy, well, are you okay? And I don't hold her like this real tight. Because every parent knows what it feels like to think I maybe have just lost my kid. Well, that is a little peek into the heart of a father or a mother that many of you have already experienced that season in your life. Today, I want to talk to you about Luke chapter 15 because it exposes the heart of a father to us. Some of you are here today and you have strayed spiritually, and some of you are coming here, are visiting today, and you are far from God. And I acknowledge that. In the early service, I prayed with many people, some that were very far from God. One woman that confessed, this is my first time here. I don't believe in God, but today I felt something with tears streaming down her face. She said, today this message touched me, and I don't know what it is. I said, it's the God calling you to himself. Yeah. The Pharisees, who were very, very adamantly against Jesus, they were his arch enemies. It tells us in Luke chapter 15, verse 1, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." The big complaint that the Pharisees had against Jesus is that Jesus would not just hang around with the holy crowd. That oftentimes it was the prostitute that would come to Jesus and he would talk with her and show her mercy and compassion and not push her away. It was the tax collectors that were hated by the Jewish people because they worked for the Roman government and extracted money from the regular people. It was the thugs and the thieves. It was the outcasts. It was those that people would cross the sidewalk instead of walking past them. Oftentimes, those were the ones that would come to Jesus and Jesus would not push them away. The Pharisees, who were very religious, looked at Jesus, who allowed people like that around him, and they despised him. On this occasion, they were muttering to one another, "How could he say he's holy and be a teacher and allow people like that around him?" They didn't address Jesus directly, but Jesus heard them criticizing him. And so he answers them in a string of parables. There's three parables: the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son. Today I only have time to get into one of the parables, the parable of the lost son. We've heard it called the prodigal story, or parable about the prodigal. But all three of these parables have the same thing in common. There's something that was lost. And when the owner finds it, there is great celebration and great value in that which is lost. The parable of the prodigal, I want you to turn in your Bibles and look with me at Luke chapter 15, verse 11. I'm going to cover quickly with you five phases in returning back to the Father's heart. It tells us in verse 11, Jesus continued, and he begins to tell them a parable. "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So the father divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got all that he had together and set off for a distant country." If you're taking notes today, I'm talking about the five phases of returning back to God. Number one, write this down: the running phase. The running phase. It tells us in this parable that the two boys, the younger son, came to the father. And while the father was still alive, he says to his father, "I would like my share of the inheritance while I'm still alive." Well, first of all, let me say that was extremely insulting in any culture, but especially in the Jewish culture. Because in essence, you're saying, "Hey, you're not dead yet, but I would like my inheritance." It was unheard of. It was insulting. It was almost like saying, "In my mind, you're already dead. I want the benefits of your death to come to me." In the Jewish culture, the older son would get 2/3 of the inheritance. The younger son would get 1/3 of the inheritance. So this younger son received from the father 1/3 of his inheritance. And I want you to notice what happens here. The Bible says that this son took what he had been given to him, and he liquidated the assets, turned it into cash, and then set off for a distant country. Now, if you're here today and you are sliding into the prodigal zone, or you are running from God, or you have been running from God for some time, let me just diagnose a little bit how it happens. First of all, let me say that it happens when we start to pull away from God. We don't want God's interference in managing our business, like this younger son said, "Hey, I don't want to stay at your house anymore. I want your inheritance, but I don't want you. I want what you have to offer me, but I don't want to stay in your house. The parable doesn't tell us why, but my gut feeling is if you would talk to that younger son, he would say, I want my independence, I want my freedom, I don't want people telling me how to live, I don't want restrictive rules, I don't want to be associated with them, I want to be my own person, I want to have my freedom, I want to pursue what I want to pursue, I want to seek after the dreams that I want to seek after, and I feel like if I'm on my own, I will be able to be much more who I really am. He starts to pull away from his father. Oftentimes, as we go down the prodigal way, we start to pull away from the father. And I want you to be clear about this. Look up at me, because this is really important. You are either at this time, while I speak, at this season of your life, you are either pulling towards the father or you are pulling away from the father. There is no middle neutral ground. In your life, you are either pulling towards the Father and your relationship pursuing Him, or you are pulling away from the Father, straying away from the Father and your relationship with Him. This young son, because of his own desires, he starts to harden himself. The second thing that I want you to notice is that we create distance between us and God. It says that he set off for a distant country. As the hardening of our heart begins to occur, we have less and less contact with the Father. In fact, we want less and less to do with the Father. We want to go to a distant country. We want to establish our own identity. We don't want people to know who we are. We want to live our own life. And so the Bible says that he set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. He not only wanted to be away from the Father, but he wanted to live according to his own rules and not have the limitations of his Father's house on him. When someone is raised within the church or raised around the things of God, I find it oftentimes with kids that go off to college, their parents say, well, when they were at home, they were such good kids. And then they go off to college and they start viewing their social media and they say, hey, what happened to my kid? Well, what happened to your kid is that your kid had not internalized your values while he was at your house or she was at your house. They had the constraints of your rules, but once they got on their own, they started living like they want to live.
You're listening to the Bible teaching of Mark Jobe on Bold Steps, and as we reach the midpoint of today's program, a quick reminder that you can always find these messages and catch up on anything you miss by going to our website, boldstepsradio.org. Or if you'd enjoy listening to these Bible lessons while you're out taking a walk or heading to work, be sure to subscribe to our Bold Steps podcast and get these messages downloaded automatically to your phone or smart device. Just head over to your favorite podcast app and search for Bold Steps with Dr. Mark Jobe. While you're there, be sure to subscribe and leave us a comment. And one of the exciting new additions we've made to our Bold Steps outreach is a 60-second program called the Bold Steps Minute, where we share quick and meaningful portions from Pastor Mark's insightful teaching. This unique one-minute program is a great way to weave in some additional biblical teaching to your busy day. In fact, one of our listeners named Mindy recently wrote in about the Bold Steps Minute, letting us know how helpful this new program is. She says, God bless you, Pastor Mark. God uses you all the time to talk to me about the ways I'm to see things and live with God. Well, thank you for listening, Mindy. And if you have a comment or a question you'd like to share with Mark, be sure to reach out by going to our website and clicking the tab that says Ask a Question. Again, that's boldstepsradio.org. All right, now continuing with today's message, returning back to the Father's heart, here again is Pastor Mark Jobe.
The Bible says that this young man went off, was at a distance, squandered what they had in wild living. In fact, that word wild is found nowhere in the Bible except for this story. It's almost like we had to invent a word for how wild this guy was. The next stage is what I call the consequence stage. So the running phase eventually gives over to the consequence stage. Look at what it says in verse 14. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself to a citizen of that country who sent him to the field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. How many of you know there's always an end to the party? You can party so long, but the party always ends. And the next day, you don't wake up, you come to. And this man, flush with cash, no restraints, no one says, aren't you the son of so-and-so? No one knows him. Goes to a different country, and he has money, youth, he's got a party inside of him, and he's having a blast, the time of his life. Let me tell you this. There are seasons when our running from God feels fun. There are times in your life that you are running away from God and living your life, and you said, I should have done this a long time ago. This is fun. I'm happy. I'm having a good time, and I am enjoying myself. I can be myself. There are no restraints in my life. He had money. He had friends. When you have a lot of money and you're paying for the drinks, you got a lot of friends. He had a lot of friends. He was popular. A lot of people were gathering around him. He was having the time of his life. There was a season in which that illusion of happiness was strong. It was going well for him, but he was living in a short-term bubble because the party always comes to an end. And I want you to know, I want you to understand this, that oftentimes the good time that we're living in is an illusion. It's a short time. It's a time where we feel good about it. I remember, I've had this conversation with many people. I remember sitting down with a married man who had just walked out on his wife of 20 years and hooked up with a younger woman that was about 20 years younger than him. And he was saying, I'm having fun. I'm good. I should have done this a long time ago. I was in a bad marriage. I feel free now. I'm creative. She brings out the best in me. You cannot tell me that this is wrong. I said, how long you been with her? 3 months. I said, here's the thing. Your wife has known you for 20 years. She's known you for 3 months. A year from now, she's going to know who you really are. And I'm going to tell you something. This will not last. Oh, no, you don't know, Pastor. I'm better. A year later, hey, how's the girl? Things didn't work out. Pastor, can you help me? You know, my wife doesn't talk to me. Kids don't talk with me. No. You know what? You have gone down a trail in which the illusion for a while filled you, but the bubble will burst at some time or another. And notice what it says during this consequence phase. It says that when he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country. And by the way, I love how sometimes God accelerates the end to our party. Hello. Sometimes it's external circumstances that God will help make the party come to an end quicker. In this case, it was a famine. And he began to be in need, and so it says, so he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country. So literally, the Bible says that he attached himself, or glued himself to a foreigner that he depended on so that he could survive. Just an insight here. Can I let you know during this phase that we oftentimes, during a phase where the party has come to an end and we still have a need in our heart because we're out of the Father's house, oftentimes we will attach ourselves to someone that fulfills our need immediately because we're dependent upon that person. And we think that it's a mutual beneficial relationship, but ultimately it becomes a relationship that masters us or dominates our life in a negative way. When you're running from God, When you're looking to fulfill your life somehow outside of God's design, outside of the love of the Father, you will be driven to things that in the short term make you feel fulfilled, but in the long term become your master. If there are any former addicts in the house here, or if there are any current addicts in the house here, you know exactly what I'm talking about. In the beginning, you take that substance or that snort or that pill because it makes you feel good for the moment. And in the beginning, it's great. You feel good. You relax. It stresses you out. Just one more pill. This is so nice. You say that you can keep it under control when people warn you about it. And you say, I'm not like that. I'm not one of those. I can keep it under control. But you find yourself needing it more and more to be normal, to get stress relief. And so you use it more and more until you find the day when you depend on it to function. And the more you use it, the less functional you are at work and other places. And before you know it, the very thing that you thought was helping you out now has become a master. What gave you pleasure and relief in the beginning now has become a dominant master that causes you to be obsessed about getting the next high, getting the next fix. And so you lie, manipulate your relationships, you'll do anything for the fix, and you find yourself as a prisoner to that which in the beginning gave you pleasure. That's addiction. Now this individual here finds himself attached to a relationship to meet his needs because he's not in his father's house, and he becomes dependent. And not only dependent, but listen, sin always leads us to something other than God to master our life. And the Bible says his foreign master sent him to a field to feed the pigs. And as he fed the pigs, and by the way, for a Jewish man, one of the most disgusting things that you could be around are pigs, because the Jewish people did not eat pork. And so it was the lowest of the low to be around pigs. Can I tell you something? When you run from God and find yourself mastered by other things, you will ultimately find yourself doing things that you never thought you would ever do. In fact, you will find yourself doing things that at one time you thought were disgusting in life, that you would never do in life. But the more you are driven, the longer you're away from God, the more you find yourself doing things that at one time would be inconceivable for you to do. But you find yourself right in the midst of it because you're away from the Father.
And we'll continue learning more from the story of the prodigal son when we return tomorrow for part two of this message. This is Bold Steps, the Bible teaching ministry of Mark Jobe. Today's lesson titled, Returning Back to the Father's Heart. Before we part ways for the moment, I want to encourage you to go to our website at boldstepsradio.org and check out some of the faith-building opportunities and resources we have available, including this month's special Bold Steps gift. It's an eye-opening book that gets to the heart of our deepest longings, and Mark is going to tell us more about it.
Your unmet needs are an invitation from God. That's the message of Dr. Kathy Cook's transformative book, Five to Thrive, which not only reveals what our core needs really are, but how to meet them in a holistic, practical, and God-honoring way. The idea of working on yourself may be trendy, but the truth is, God designed us with specific needs and potentials that only He can fulfill. So if you want more than just a surface-level guide towards self-improvement and the core longings that God gave you, you'll want to check out the special Bold Steps gift. In each chapter, Dr. Cook offers biblical steps for meeting your most basic needs with God's most holistic plan. Learn how to evaluate your life, your behaviors, and your greatest God-given potential with this constructive resource. Ask for the book, Five to Thrive, when you give a gift of any amount to support this ministry. We've made it quick and easy to give on our website at boldstepsradio.org.
All right, to give and request your copy of Five to Thrive, go to the website that Mark gave or call us at 844-615-7363. Or if you'd prefer, you can also send your donation in the mail. Write to us at Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And one other special resource you'll want to sign up for is something called the Bold Stepper Weekly. It's a weekly newsletter from Mark that we email to our listeners every Monday morning, sharing important ministry updates, motivating devotionals, and key takeaways from his current teaching series. So, if you haven't already, be sure to sign up for this free resource and get yours delivered next Monday by visiting our website, boldstepsradio.org. Look for the Bold Stepper Weekly. I'm Wayne Shepherd. We'll see you again tomorrow for part two of today's message, Returning Back to the Father's Heart. That's coming up Friday here on Bold Steps with Mark Job. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.